if you're able to host Thanksgiving or Christmas for they poor ass, they ain't gonna ask you no goddamn questions anyway.
I'm gonna run through these messages. Hold on.
Yeah, and my question is this: why the fuck do women want to date convicts? Why do convicts get more love, or the homeless guys get more love than the real niggas? Like, what the fuck is that about? Like, is that like a thing or something like that's popular? What's going on with that? Like, homeless niggas or convicts always get more love, and they can do whatever the fuck they want, but the real niggas can't do whatever the fuck they want.
I hear that.
What'd you say, Miko? I can't speak on that because a man who is already in a hole is not doing it for himself is not attractive to me. So I can't speak on that.
I think that comes from trauma, though. I think some women want to take care of somebody, and any man will do. And it's a sense of control. If a man needs you as far as for stability, they're just happy to have one. He's not going anywhere because no one else will take him. So they're settling.
You ever hear how romantic a man sounds in jail on the phone? Oh, their poetry is top notch. I'm just kidding. They got too much time.
Listen. Yeah. He got too much time, but not time to take care of himself. He's putting in on getting you. All his focus is making sure that the pot stays warm for him. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Come out and buy me a house, buy me an apartment, and buy me the new Jordans, because that's all I care about. And then I'm going to cheat on you immediately. Cheat on you before you get home.
You putting that money in the commissary, he's going to tell you anything to keep that money coming.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Oh, it's all good, man. No heartburn from that. You know, I was born in the 1800s, so, you know, customs and traditions, you know, I'm trying to integrate that into the 21st century. That's all. But it's all good, man. Enjoying the talk.
That was a comment on Taroy not bringing home nothing. We got you, Taroy.
As someone who was sat down regarding their financial decisions, I can say initially it was really stressful. However, in the long term, it was very helpful. So what we ended up doing was we created an Excel sheet. And every Sunday, we would go over our finances. And it worked for a few months. We dropped off. But ultimately, it was very helpful to see where our money was going, how much we were spending, and where we needed to maybe cut back. And ultimately, we ended up creating a savings that's been really helpful lately.
Love me a little baby that listens, see? Good.
There you go. See, that shit works, man.
See, I need to do that. Thank you.
You can definitely do it.
Lesbian is a B, a big B word.
Well, financial literacy encompasses just general planning. I give you an example. Plan a trip that involves you getting a passport, and you have to raise a certain amount of money. Now, take all the outliers and the variables, and what about this? I'm just talking about a basic trip that requires you to get a passport and a certain amount of money, let's say $1,000. You plan that over a period of time. You see how they're able to get things together, okay? Can they put money to the side? Can they organize their passport? Do they go where they need to go? Are they there on time? Do they have the documents in order? Mm. You know, financial literacy, that's just one aspect.
I like that.
A person that can't get somewhere on time.
I agree with that. You got to learn how to manage with what you have. You know, generally speaking, someone that has two jobs is someone that's broke. You know, and I'm just speaking in generalities. I mean, you may be trying to save money or you're trying to pay something off. I get that, but I'm speaking in generalities. Show me a person that has two jobs, I'll show you a person that's broke. Mm-hmm. I can agree with that. You know, hold off on combining your finances until you know their situation and your ability to manage properly. You know, it's okay to have the keys to each other's home. And, you know, on the weekend, you may want to stay with, you know, one, or she may want to stay with you. You know, that's a nice little vibe, especially during the holidays. You know, you want to cuddle up, you know, with somebody in somebody else's house. You know, ain't nothing wrong with that. And if you all need your space, then go back to your house.
Can
I jump in on where he said, show me a person with two jobs and I'll show you someone that's broke? Yeah. I understand that on the strength of this. And this is where I always use my logic. If white people don't have to do it, neither do I. My mom used to always be like, you might just have to get a second job. I'm like, let me tell you something. The white man don't never have to work a second job. Now, I'm not speaking for all of them because I know some of them do. But majority of them, up in this area, have one job, somehow all making millions of dollars a year, hundreds of thousands of chunks of dollars a year, and a wife in Hoboken somewhere. I don't understand how they do it, but they do it. Any white man that I've associated with ain't never worked two jobs. Never even conversed about it. Not even on their list of things to do.
That's money.
They're worried about getting married and buying a house. They'd never be sitting there going, oh man, Jay, let me tell you something. I am so broke that I might have to go get a second job. I'll be like, you are not white. Go and get yourself retested at Ancestry.com because you are not a white man. These white folk that make that kind of money, they don't do it. And I don't understand why we don't feel like we have the same privilege, where we can be like, yo, I'm going to go get me a job. And I ain't saying you could work at McDonald's and do that. You can't. But you need to take your ass, get some kind of, you know, background or experience in an area that makes money and maximize that shit like they do. Make somebody pay you the money. I make niggas pay me money. I don't like. And after, what we also got to realize is once you get to a certain level, even if a job lays you off, you don't go beneath that level to the next job.
Right.
That job laid you off. You didn't quit. You didn't get fired. That does not mean you now got to get another job, lessen the amount you were worth. No, if you was making $85,000 at that last job, you guess what? The next job, you were asking for $95,000, if not $100,000. You don't go there. You think white people get laid off and be like, yo, I just got laid off and I was making $250,000 a year. I'm about to drop that down to $100,000 flat. They go to the next job and be like, listen, I need to be making $350,000 a year. That's what my background requires and my skin tone. Now, we can't say that, but like you can definitely ask for more money, as you should, because of your experience and what you do. That's one reason why a lot of us don't know how to get up and move forward in these corporate worlds, because we don't do that. One thing I base my thinking on is how white people go and do their shit. You know what I mean? Not outside of work, but in the corporate world, they got that shit locked up. And the way they move is how I move, because I'm not ashamed of myself. I'm not downplaying myself for nobody. And I'm definitely not downplaying my goddamn money.
It definitely depends on where you live. It definitely depends on if you're willing to ask for what you're asking for. Because a lot of people go into an interview and they're just like, okay, this is the pay that we're willing to do. And then nobody pushes back on that. Other races appreciate your offer, but I would need to have around this salary. If you can match me at this salary, then I will agree. And most people, if they want you and your credentials and your history, they will agree for that. A lot of people don't ask for what they know they're worth. A lot of people see the application, they see what they're offering, they think, okay, I have to take this. You don't have to take that. And a lot of jobs, they like to fish, where they'll put out, you know, this is the offer, the job offer, this is what it is, this is the pay. You talk to them more and they say, well, the pay is really this. No, because if you're trying to play these money games at the beginning of this, and I don't even have the job, I don't even want the job, because you're here to manipulate and see what you can get out of people. And this whole illusion of all these jobs this year that nobody's applying for is bullshit, because the reality is the minimal pay that people should be getting should be $25 bare minimum, because you can't do shit really in life to get yourself ahead, paying bills, saving anything, making less than 25 an hour. That's the reality of living in. And some people are working multiple jobs and have money coming aside because they're trying to get from under just paying bills, working to pay bills. If you're working to pay bills, you're not getting anywhere. You're not going to have anything. You're not going to be happy. You're going to be miserable. You're going to feel like a mule. And so a lot of people take the time and say, okay, what course do I need to take so now I can add this to my resume and ask for this amount of money? You always have to be doing your research. This whole conversation of not asking the person that you work with, what do you make? This whole idea that I'm going to be with the person and not know how much money they make, but I want to live with them, is ridiculous. Because what if this person gets injured? Do you know how to pay the bills? Do you have the to cover you and them? And that's the reality of it. If you're sitting in a relationship with somebody and you're comfortable because they take care of you, can you at any time, if something happens to them, turn around and take care of them? Cannot. Then there's a whole conversation that you're not having.
Oh, there's a lot of conversations that people need to speak about when it comes to that. Life insurance, disability, God forbid something happens to you at work. Who's going to pay your portion of the bills? That's something I saw as growing up. My mom got sick, and luckily she had that level of financial literacy where she not only was able to sit there and still pay her bills and put in her half because she prepared for those things. Outside of whatever else there was for her as far as disability payments from maybe the government, she had her stuff on lock.
I'm not going to sit here and be like, yes, after dinner, y'all should talk about life. Because that's a great conversation to talk about. Some people think when you bring up life insurance, oh, this person's trying to get my money. No, this person is trying to make sure if something happens to you, thanks for your family has is good. A lot of people don't even put their house in the right thing in order to keep it. So, I don't know. This is just, you got to be at a certain level of maturity to ask for the relationships that you want. And a lot of people are just thinking about themselves, and I'm going to move in with them so I don't have to pay rent, or I'm going to move in with them so now I can just spend all of my money that I work with on shit I like. And to be honest, a lot of the shit that women spend on themselves, quote unquote, to look good for men don't give a shit about.
Nope.
They don't care.
They do not care about our individual eyelashes.
They do not
that
care.
That get stuck in the bed and that they think is a bug when they wake up in the morning.
And stop asking us to pay for them shits. We don't like them. So we're not going to pay for them. I got to understand if you asking for a wax or your nails and your toes done. No nigga that I have ever met was like, you know what? I like the spider eyebrows these chicks be wearing nowadays. I really like them shits the way they hang off their fucking head in the middle of the day. Nobody likes them shits. Yeah. Y'all are literally doing that for other women at this point. Y'all need to stop.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to play the rest of these messages and go through this list.
Yeah, I agree with that. It really doesn't matter what type of car you drive or how you look. But in actuality, in today's climate, it does. And it doesn't matter what you tell someone. They're not going to learn until they're embarrassed. Or the person that they're trying to impress embarrasses them or shows them who they really are. That's the only way they're going to learn. That's just the way that it is. Yeah, I like that perspective, you know, as far as a European. You don't see Europeans working two jobs. Just like... you never seen a pregnant Chinese woman and an albino after high school. As a matter of fact, where do albinos go after high school?
I appreciate that joke. I forgot what show that was on, but that was definitely a joke that I never got the answer to, and I want to know. Somebody was literally like, where do all the albinos go after high school? You never see them anymore. I was like, that's a really good question.
I like that. You got to demand the amount of money that you feel like you're worth. I mean, you're never going to make more money than the person that's paying you. But your credentials and your name goes a long way. You got to let these people know. I think that we get too excited about having a job. We're just so thankful to have a job. But no, you get ready to make that, you're making that company a whole lot of money. You can break me off a little bit of something. I agree with that.
Well, that's the thing, too. I tell people all the time, the only reason why the job that you had agreed to pay you what they pay you is because they know they're getting over. That's it. They know they're getting more out of me than I'm getting out of them. That's why it's a great deal for them. That's why they agree for it. And once you understand that, then you understand, do I really want to put in the work to go somewhere new, to sell myself, to ask for what I want to ask for? A lot of people don't. So this mentality that your parents have where you talk to them, you're just like, well, I really want to go for this new job. And they're just like, you really going to leave that good job? What the hell is a good job if you're drowning? What is a good job if you're drowning?
Max.
To me, a good job is I like what I do. I can feed myself. I can protect my family. I can do for them. I can handle their wants and their needs, and I can still put something at the side. If I can't do that, then this does not qualify as a good job. So, I don't know. Don't get comfortable in these jobs because they're very cutthroat. January, February is coming up, and they're going to be dropping people like flies, just like they've been doing all year. So, always be refreshing. Always be looking. Always be adding things to your resume, learning something to add to your resume, because we're just in a time frame where if you want that raise, it means go look for another job and ask for that money. Because if you wait at the job that you've been at doing the maximum of what you need to do, it's going to take you longer to get ahead and get the money that you want versus you going for a job and asking for the money you want. But that's a whole nother thing. The next thing that I have on this list is people lying about wanting certain things. So what I mean by that is you get in a relationship, you hear about what this person wants, and then because you don't want to go against the grain, you agree that you want that too. When in reality, you don't want shit. You're stalling. You're using this person as a pivot point for the next relationship that you actually want. At a certain point, people have to get to a point where they're not being dishonest about what it is that they want. I would rather you have everything that you want and be in your truth. To the point where if somebody was like, I think I want to break up or I don't want to be in this relationship. Cool. Because I would rather you tell me that than to have me be in this relationship with you thinking we're on the same page and you're lingering because there's something else you want that I am not. So I just don't know why adults look at breakups as like this tragic thing that's happening. If somebody wants to skip and hip hop and do whatever out of your life, let them do so. Make sure they know all the exit options. Make sure they know, okay, here's your spades. Would you like me to get you boxes? You know what I'm saying? It's not a loss if somebody is telling you face to face, I want to walk up out of this. What's a loss is if you're trying to hold somebody back that's telling you action-wise and verbally, I don't want to be in this.
Well, but there's so many people who don't want to be alone. Having the wrong person is better than being alone. So they stay in that situation and they hold people hostage and themselves hostage. It's a really weird world.
But then that's a personal question for you. Like, are you comfortable with somebody holding you that doesn't want you?
Some people are, and that goes back to the trauma question. A lot of people have seen their parents and their grandparents stay in situations for reasons beyond me that don't make sense. So sometimes I think someone mentioned, or one of the callers mentioned something about, oh, people's past trauma. That's another thing that we have to break out of when going into relationships. When you notice that someone is holding on to some type of childhood or even adult trauma that they haven't mapped out themselves, that's mm-hmm. a reason for me to walk away. Red flag. You're not responsible for what happened to you. You're responsible for what you do about it. So someone having trauma is not my problem. And that's not in a harsh way. That's in a way that I don't have time to walk you through that if you're not already aware and doing something about it yourself. So staying in bad relationships, that's a trauma response.
Yeah.
Thanks.
My next one is ignoring boundaries, you know, your person. Hey guys, thank you so much for checking out this podcast. This is one of many podcasts that I do. So when you support this podcast, you are supporting options that I can do with the other shows. If you're not aware, I have Cozy Moon Podcast. I have Creator Podcast. Loud Mouth Stereo was discontinued, but the episodes are still up there if you want to listen. She Gets It Pod was discontinued, but the episodes are still up there if you want to listen. So What Pays Me on Bit is a book club podcast. We have The Real Relationship Report that I do with Dungeon on Stereo app bi-weekly. And then there is the one and only Wear It Right with Shan, which is my podcast where I talk about fashion and style. So when you support one, you support all. If you would like to donate to any of these shows, you can. The link is in the show notes, and I do appreciate it. It does give me other opportunities to do other things. And also, please support the website. Visit often, because there's a blog on there called Thick Grits and Pods, where I upload my thoughts and things that help podcasters and creators in just keeping us where we need to be in our minds and in life. ShambiPodden.com is the website. You can also find all of my books on that website and all of the shops to go ahead and purchase merch if you like wearing what you support. And I appreciate you. Now back to the show. It is against. So for some people, this is a kink, okay? For some people, knowing things that your person doesn't like and you doing them to get some type of reaction out of a person, I feel like is a kink. Because when people are individually miserable, they don't know how to be in a level of peace in a relationship, so they create chaos. And sometimes creating chaos is doing something that's stepping over a boundary that your person has. I feel like we're all at an age where you should be able to say, hey, I know you've been working. I know I've been working. I know the kids need this, the kids need that, but you haven't been spending enough time with me. We need to do X, Y, and Z. Instead of you doing something that, you know, would piss a person off just to get a reaction out of them to see if they still care.
That's a good point.
And yeah. To me, that's like a level of maturity and a level of communication that has to be able to be had between the both of you. How do you get your person's attention when you want attention from them, when you want affection from them, when there's something that you want them to do that they're not doing correctly? There's a way to speak to your person in love, and there's a way to speak to your person that's going to make them feel like they're not good enough, or they can't do it, or you don't like them. And a lot of people, instead of them learning how to speak to the person, they feel like, well, I'm just direct and I'm going to tell you straight up. Well, sometimes you're thinking of you being direct and telling your person straight up, you come off like an asshole. The way you said that kind of bitchy. So does a man want to respond to you by what you said, even though it's something that they're doing that you don't like, in a positive way now, because you basically made him feel less than?
That's something I've learned, that whenever there's a problem, it's not me against my partner, it's me and my partner against the problem. So if you're approaching it as an attack, you're never going to get the response you're looking for. You're actually going to create resentment and avoidance.
Right. You need a whole solution. We're here for solutions. To me, if the goal is a solution, I'm not looking to make you feel like shit in this conversation. I'm looking to see where we can work together so we can both feel better by the end of this conversation. But if you're looking to nag a person to get on their nerves because you need to get something off today, I feel like you're coming from a selfish place. The goal is not, let me keep this relationship. The goal is not, let me make sure that I can do something for this person and we can both be happy. The goal is, I feel like shit, but I don't want to carry this no more. Let me put it on this person. Lastly, but not at least, unequal respect. If you are a woman and you are respecting this man to the 100th power, and the way that this man shows you their level of disrespect is very vivid. I'm not a person that kills people with kindness. If you're a dick to me, then you're telling me, please reciprocate by being a dick. If you're an asshole to me, you're telling me, please reciprocate by being an asshole. If you ask me a question and I'm answering you and you're talking over me, that tells me your goal is to not understand me. Your goal is just to create chaos. So the mature me is going to shut up. The mature me is going to end the conversation. The old me will come down to your level. And you have to be honest about who are you with? What is y'all communication style? And does this person respect me? How much respect can I give to a person that's constantly disrespectful? You have to be real with yourself. And I feel like a lot of people go into a relationship with a prior bad habit of being disrespectful to a person to get some type of outcome that they like. To get some type of outcome that you better do something to shut me up. Nobody should have to do something to shut you up. But that just comes from like, okay, are you operating from having experiences in maybe a toxic relationship that clearly didn't work for you? Or are you looking to have a better relationship and learn how to talk to someone that gives you a better outcome than the last relationships that you had? It's a choice. It's like, are you willing to do something different? A lot of people are not willing to do something different, but they want something different. A lot of people like, I need a new job that's paying me at least 85K, okay? What are you willing to do more that you're not doing at your current job to be able to say, pay me 85K? A lot of people want more money, but they want to do less at a job. That's not how that works. That's not how that works. When you're in a job and you're getting paid the most money, I think about that, I'm just like, okay, that means you're willing to take on more shit. People are managers in jobs because they're willing to take on more shit. They're willing to take on more blame for what other people are not doing at a job. That is a position you took. I've been offered multiple manager positions and I have said no because I like going to a job. Working with the knowledge I had for the training, clocking the hell out and not thinking about that job. I don't never want a job where I'm off the clock, I'm not working, I'm with my kids and you're calling my phone and you expect me to sit on the phone for the meeting. I don't want it. That's not the type of life that I want. But when you start getting 85K, 95K, 100K, 200K jobs, that's the type of things that they take on. They're never tapped out of a work environment. They're on vacation with a laptop, with a work phone. You know what I'm saying? So the reality of women who are out here is like, I want a man that makes six figures. The idea that a man who makes six figures can show up in your life, in your kid's life, the way that you're thinking is completely wrong. He doesn't have time for that. His demand is crazy. What he probably can do is pay for all the nice things that you and your kids want to do. But the reality of him being around, like you think he's going to be around, that's not really feasible.
With great power comes great responsibility. My Spider-Man shit. If that's something that you could honestly live with, then that's great. But if you can't, you got to be realistic. And that's another thing people settle for. And then get mad at their partner for it. You can't want the lifestyle and not contribute to it and not understand what you're exchanging it for.
Consider the white woman from Hoboken, as I spoke of earlier. Her husband's making a few million a year. Is he home? No.
Nope.
Is he taking her out on dates? Is he? No, she has a credit card. She comes to my rental company to rent a car at Hertz in Hoboken. And she uses that to get around because her man is never around. Now, he may come home on weekends and spend a little time. You don't get the, even anybody that's making a lot of money is usually doing something or a lot of shit. Even if you have a professional athlete, he's gone half the year doing his job.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to be around him. Drea, the original hoe, is in the middle of losing her house because she didn't know how to manage the last athlete that she was with while amongst getting this, mismanaging this new young nigga that she's with who just got signed for $200 million. But when you don't know what you're doing in those areas, you just look good and you're like, hey, guys like to fuck me and I have children and this is how I make my living. Then you get to live that lifestyle. Yeah, that's the investment. But you need to have some form of knowledge of what you're doing as an adult. No matter how good you look, how much money you have, you have to know how to use it to make you know, to be beneficial for you. You know, and the one thing I wanted to add before Shane ends this great show that we had was I wanted to just throw out that you can't spell. What is it? What was my new saying, Shane? You can't spell.
I can't remember.
It was a good one, and I know it. You can't spell compromise without comprehend.
Mm.
Because everybody wants to say them words, but don't want to do one or the other. And I cannot tell you the value. I cannot stress the value that both male and females will find in comprehension. Everybody talking about, I understand. I communicate well. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Do you fucking comprehend what I am saying to you? Or do you just watch the words coming out of my mouth and sit there and ready to reply with your ignorant ass shit? Because you have not comprehended a goddamn thing. And this happens on both sides. Mm-hmm. That's why communication is not good, because comprehension is non-existent.
There's no active listening.
No active listening. I just want, I hear him talking, but I'm setting my reply up. I just want to say this, I'm going to say that. What'd you say? I don't care. This is what I got to say. This is my reply.
And that's why some things cannot be text. I'm like that.
Oh, yeah. No, not at all.
It does not translate.
I don't want to leave what I read like, okay, I'm going to take that as this. No, I'm going to call you up and be like,
I need to know.
So this is what I was saying. What were you saying? Oh, okay. Okay, cool. I have clarity now. Because sometimes, even with the girls, this morning Ari did it to me. She was like, oh, we can wear jeans and our sports shirt today. I said, who said that? Oh, it's on, you know, the Class Dojo, which is where their teachers talk. So I had to go on Class Dojo, read it. And I'm just like, it doesn't say you can wear a sports shirt. And then Anya read it out to me. And I'm just like, okay. I get it now that she said it. Sometimes mm-hmm. that's what it is. But some people would rather be mad that you even had the audacity to tell them anything, that they completely bypass what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But yeah, but all of those things. I don't know if we
missed. It's not any. Also. It's not also what you say. It's how you say it. That's something that I'm going through in my household with my son. How the context that you use to explain yourself, and whether or not that person has that same tool. Sometimes you have to learn to speak other people's language as well. Knowing your audience is so important.
If anybody wants to go, because I'm still to this day go by being a straightforward individual, but. Mm-hmm. What you have to learn is just because you are straightforward does not allow you to be an asshole.
That part.
If you can't understand that, you just gonna keep coming off as an asshole. You have to learn to stick to your values and what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
But tactically bring it into somebody's life. Don't just be like, hey, I'm straightforward and that's how it is. That's what it is.
Especially with women. You gotta know your audience. You definitely
got to
know your audience.
Yeah, you have to. Don't you ever stop being you or telling the truth. But you do have to understand, read the room, Mm-hmm. And take that into consideration before you decide to do your being straightforward thing. I had to learn that. And it's part of everybody's journey. Like, I will mm-hmm. never tell anybody the best way to be is not to be straightforward and honest, because it is. But you do have to use it tactically.
It's not what you say, it's how you say it. Delivery mm-hmm. is so important. You can almost yep. say anything in the world, but it's really how you say it and knowing who you're speaking to when you deliver that message.
Yes, ma'am.
And also, I say this, being honest, I think, is the most respectful thing to give somebody. But you have to brace yourself that they now have a decision on what to do with the fact that you were honest about whatever it was. A lot of people are not honest because they don't want to handle somebody else having the button as a result of them being honest. They want to have a control factor of how you think about them or what you feel about them, because there's something they know that they need to say that you don't know. I would rather you have the honesty so you can come back at me later and say, oh, but you didn't tell me this. Or if you would have told me this, I probably would have did this different. And to me, that's more respect for a person than anything else. But at the same time, everybody's not willing to lay all of their shit on a table with somebody. I'm just at a point where I rather lay my stuff on the table for somebody to see what they want to do with it or they don't want to touch it, than to walk around tiptoeing on different conversations on shit. It just doesn't make any sense. But again, that's your maturity level of what you're looking for. Everybody's not looking for that. We got two more messages and then I'll close up the show. If anybody has anything that they didn't say, we could say it after this message.
How many people in reality actually say what they want? And I would just ask it about that, Shan or Zoe. Like, who actually says that, like, from beta? Like, what do you really want? Like, if you even ask a girl what do they really want, right? They'll say it, but how many relationships actually understands that? Like, I'm just asking.
Not every relationship, but I do say what I want. If somebody asks me a question, I will be direct about things that I want. But sometimes people are not prepared to get the answer to the question that they want to ask. That itself is not my personal problem. Hold on, my mom is texting me. The door is open. Okay. So yeah, I am direct, but not everybody is direct, to answer your question.
Yeah, I'm at an age where I have to be direct. Closed mouth don't get fed. And the worst thing that you'll find out is that that person cannot provide what you're asking for. And I'd rather know they can't provide it and go get it elsewhere or continue on where I'm at than to not get it and not know. Not knowing is just a scary place to be in rather than actually being honest.
Correct.
Facts.
Next message.
Yeah, you're right. You know, those Europeans that's making those millions of dollars, you know, they're never home. They can't be home, you know, and the wife is left to her own devices, and the mind wanders. I had a situation where this dude came home to his wife, and there was some brother putting a pipe in her back, and he just went ballistic. But you're never home. So that's why I say you better bring something back when you go out.
I mean, a lot of people are bringing things back when they go out. But those are STDs. Those are other kids. Those are other relationships they're having. Like, I don't have time to care about people in secret. I don't have time to care about people on top of the people that I'm financially showing up for. If the person that I'm caring about is on the same lane direction that I want to go, then yes, that makes sense. I can make space to care about this person because that makes sense. But to waste your time and your energy and your emotions on something with a big hole in the bottom makes no sense to me, which is why it just makes more sense to have real discussions with somebody you really are attracted to, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, knowledge-wise. Like, are they intelligent? I think intelligence is more attractive than somebody physically, because physically anything can fucking happen, you know? But intelligence, is this person intelligent? Can I learn from this person? Can we learn from each other? Will this person teach me things about myself that I haven't noticed? Like, there's all of these other things that people are not thinking about, and financially cannot be the key to why you're with somebody. Where this person can take you cannot be the key why you're with somebody. This person getting your body done cannot be the key why you're with somebody. But some people use it, and some people use people who are quote unquote this nice guy, and I know they'll do this and this for me. Even though before I was with this person, I was doing X, Y, and Z for myself. Some women source out the nice guy to lean upon. And then because they're so nice, they don't bring up to the attention of that woman, hey, you're not meeting me halfway on anything. You're not helping me. You're leaning on me. But you also individually have to have a limit to your niceness. You can go from nice to being stupid. You could go from nice to neglecting yourself. And to me, if a man cannot take care of himself, you can't take care of anybody. If you are not doing good for yourself, you cannot do good for anybody. Because I can't have somebody who is supposed to lead a household or lead me anywhere not taking care of themselves. I would rather be beside you while you take care of yourself, while you work, while I do the same thing. But you have to make sure your person is on top of the same idea. But yeah, all of those are good, bad habits to discuss that people may have. I think this was a good show. I appreciate y'all for showing up. I think Juice had a drop off, but that's okay. But I appreciate all the thoughts. I hope y'all learned something tonight.
Yes, definitely did. Always in good company.
Yes. Dungeon.
Definitely a good conversation.
Yeah, it was. Thank you for coming, Tori.
Yes, thank you everybody for joining tonight. This is very, very beneficial to the world.
Okay. Yeah, it was good. I'll probably have it edited and put out by Monday. On your favorite podcast app, you can find me at shambypodden.com or at shambypodden on IG and TikTok. That's it. We're out.
Good night, guys.
Bye.
Catch you on the flip side.